Blog Talk Radio.
Took a nap today, so this is like 6 a.m.
Oh, nice.
My brain is at 6 a.m. Time. I didn't get my Dorensky mug yet, so it's still the old one.
Yeah, the TeePublic takes a minute to ship stuff.
At least Rob's not sending it to me.
All right. Ready to go?
Did you call into Block Talk?
Yep. You want to do... Want to go...
What? Finish a word. You sound like you started like three different words, but you didn't finish any of them.
Do you want to just call in and make sure it's working? Do you want to do it regularly?
Is that some typo negative? What was that?
That's, yeah, my Peter Steele voice doing regulate.
All good. All good with Block
Talk. Regulate.
All right, let's start. Let me get the intro.
Get Piers Morgan. Piers the shit.
Grammys to
I'll use that on the air.
Nominating.
Here we go. I'm going to mute everybody.
His band,
Go!
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Chris Jericho was so mad at the tribute to Eddie Van Halen, he told the Grammys to not even bother nominating his band, Fozzy, because he wouldn't show up. That's like if Robert proactively turned down a Pulitzer. Bless his heart. The Metal Injection Live cast starts now.
All right. Well, I that's right. Don't even think about giving me a Pulitzer. I won't even show up, Pulitzer Prize people.
Yeah, fuck them. Fuck the Pulitzer, people.
Welcome to the Metal Injection live cast. It's Rob here with Sid.
Hello.
And Darren. Noah will Hi. Join us in a little bit,
but her duty calls, so she has to join us a little later, but she promised to pop in as soon as she's available.
It's a brand new Tuesday. It's Tuesday, March 16th, and you can be a part of the show. Give us a call, 213-WIDE-NUT. That's 213-943-3688. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the live cast is free every Tuesday. We're live around 6-ish Eastern time for about 90 minutes. And if you need a little more live cast in your life, we do two bonus episodes a month on our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. We just uploaded a brand new episode to our Patreon page, and we do a watch-along of Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
And then the reunion video they did 20 or 30 years after, or 30 years later. And we learned so much. It was actually a very, very fun episode. I laughed a lot.
Can I say
and I cringed
that,
a lot.
About that episode? So I was the only one of us four that had not seen this before. And I didn't even know anything of it. And I assumed that it was, you know, a documentary about the type of people that would tailgate at heavy metal shows, and had no idea that it was actually just one heavy metal parking lot the whole time and a guy roaming around with a camera. And that made it so much better than what I was expecting it to be. Because it's just, it brings back the memories of seeing all these other miscreants at shows. And it's very accurate and puts you right back in that time. And if you weren't there, you weren't born yet, you see what us miscreants were like. Although, you know, there are some people that are really reprehensible in that movie that I don't want to associate myself with. But you'll see what I'm talking about if you watch this episode.
Some more miscreantic than others, we would say.
Right.
Very. So we could check that out on the Patreon and our other new episode this month. At the top of the month, we did a live cast Hall of Fame episode where we revisited some of our favorite characters from episode past, including Troat Guy. We revisited Troat Guy and learned everything about him and how that commercial came to be, the Moshiach song. And what was the third thing that we dove into in this Hall of Fame?
Mark B.
Oh, yes. How could I possibly forget Mark B? We stood shoulder to shoulder with him and revisited some old clips and unearthed a new clip that we never played on the show before. So that's all on our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast.
I want to help.
And the Grammys were this past Sunday, as Chuck Blandington alluded to at the top of the show. And, you know, we are still, believe it or not, in pandemic times, despite what some state officials would have you to believe. We are still in the middle of a pandemic. And so award shows have kind of been transformed in the last year. There's no crowds. You know, it's not like people want crowds. It'd be a little gauche to have crowds.
Right.
But
I have to say, even though the pandemic has altered the way that award shows have to be conducted, they have done a great job of maintaining the shittiness level of how boring they are.
I don't know. I thought the Grammys did, of all of the pandemic shows, of all the pandemic award shows.
Imagine this, if it was just an award for like best pandemic.
Pandemic of the
COVID
year.
COVID-19 again.
Best supporting pandemic.
It's a sweep this year. It's crazy.
Of all the award shows that happened during the pandemic, I think the Grammys did the best job compared to the Emmys.
I didn't watch the Grammys, so maybe that was the Golden Globe. Good one.
The Emmys were all right. The Golden Globes were very bad. The Grammys, I thought, were like, the Grammys actually had more music on because they didn't have filler. Like, it felt like they barely gave any awards out. It was just performance after performance. And what really stood out to me is maybe it's because the Golden Globes had so many production mistakes. The top-notch, like, pro as pro could be production level of these performances was very, very impressive.
Oh. I mean,
there was not one mistake. Everything looked super sharp. Everything looked really good. Like, this is the biggest, obviously, musical artist, so they're pumping millions of dollars into this thing. But even compared to the MTV Video Music Awards, I think the Grammys did a better job.
What were your favorite performances? Like the Dua Lipa? You're a big Dua Lipa guy?
Yeah, I actually am a Dua Lipa guy. I always confuse her and Doja Cat, but I like both of them.
I think it's Ava just Max. Do you confuse them both with Ava Max?
What's her song? I don't know. No, but I really do like here's a Dua Lipa, a friend of mine linked me. She did a NPR Tiny Desk session,
And it's so good. It's better than her, like the same versions of the songs that are on the record.
I did not expect you to be able to go deep on Dua Lipa like this.
Fucking deep Dua Lipa hipster here.
She has a backing band, and the band sounds phenomenal, and the mix is so good. You just hear the bass line, and she performs the songs a little differently. So I prefer the rawness of the live performance to the over-stylized studio production.
But you're familiar enough with the studio production to notice the small differences.
Oh, of course, because I was so impressed with the Tiny Desk performance that I went and I listened. I was like, I've heard these songs before. Why didn't they connect with me as much as this performance? And then when I listened, I was like, oh, it doesn't quite sound the same. That's right, because I am a music connoisseur, Sydney. I don't just listen to heavy metal. I listen to all music.
Well, we know you don't listen to heavy metal at all.
I don't only listen to heavy metal like that at all.
Get out of here.
Don't put words in my mouth.
He doesn't only listen to heavy metal at all, Sid. He also doesn't listen to things at all, too.
He only listens to...
Don't project on me, the two of you.
Well,
I objectively listen to more heavy metal than the both of you combined.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I don't try to hide it.
Yeah.
But Dua Lipa, all I hear when I hear Dua Lipa is like the Portuguese word for labia.
Ooh.
What's that?
I don't know. I mean, that just sounds like what it should be.
Yeah.
Best performance, to answer your question,
DaBaby, was it DaBaby?
DaBaby came out with Dua Lipa.
Say labia in Portuguese, not DaBaby.
No. It was Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. And Cardi B specifically, from a production standpoint, was like super cool because she was standing on a platform and behind her was a video wall, and then the platform itself was a video wall. So it kind of gave the illusion that she is just inside of a music video. So like she could sit on the platform, but to the viewer, it's like a 2D thing. So like she's sitting on the background almost. It was very trippy.
A lot of people don't know that's what Miley Cyrus did at the Super Bowl. That's why she missed hugging Billy Idol by 10 feet because he was really being projected onto the stage.
It's a hologram. Billy Idol died 7 years ago.
The other thing that was great, so they did WAP, you know, and this is on CBS. Yo. And the censorship was like, the radio edit is right. Wet and gushy.
Yeah.
But the edit here is just wet, wet, wet. That's it. And then like
fucking Buster Poindexter, wet, wet, wet.
Feeling wet, wet, wet. Yeah, totally. But also though, like, it's weird, the words, like, she couldn't say back of my throat. Let me feel it in the back of my throat.
That's a drop.
She's talking about a Luden's cough drop. That's what you got to tell the censors. Like, this is all about
friend.
A cough.
Yeah.
Right, well, that's the thing. The sentences themselves are not explicit, but just because they suggest sex, you can't say them on CBS, I guess.
It's all in the suggestion, Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what kind of shit they took when Janet Jackson's titty came out? I mean, come on.
I'm sure that's why. I'm sure that's still CBS feeling the fault, because I believe that was also on CBS when Janet Jackson whipped her
100%.
Tit. Yeah. Because I remember MTV produced that. And so MTV is with the Viacom Connect with our boy, what's his name, who recently passed away? The CEO.
Moonves?
Oh, Sumner Redstone?
Oh, that guy?
Good old.
I don't know. I don't know.
He liked that titty popping out. We know he was into it.
Yeah.
Fucking old corpse fossil.
My headphones disconnected.
You all right there, Rob? He's listening to some Dua Lipa. Don't let him fool
you. Yeah, you guys could be saying anything, and I wouldn't hear it right now.
Little Dua Lipa action with you.
Okay,
when I hear Ava Max, how is Ava Max? I'm not a porn star.
Yet. Give it time.
Oh.
Her follow-up record doesn't do well. She might have to.
The name is already there. There you go.
You better. So, who else is there? There's BB Rexha. Are you a big fan of BB Rexha?
I don't have one person you've said.
Every one of these names is like baby talk.
Yeah.
It's not even like full words. Dua Lipa, BB Rexa, AV Rex.
I like Dua Lipa. I like Doja Cat. Kim Petras. I'm like big, like she's my favorite of the current pop stars.
Who is that? I've never heard.
She's a little more underground.
Hey, would you blow me?
She does like synthy dance, like dark synth dance stuff.
So do we count that as a pop star if you're underground? If you're underground, you're not really a star. Or that pop.
So you mean like mainstream? Okay, let's see what other mainstream stuff. I guess I like some tracks on the new Miley Cyrus album. I'll take it.
Look at you. When are you going to start?
As well with the new Cannibal Corpse. But the reason I mentioned the Grammys is, you know, Eddie Van Halen passed away. And every year I feel like it's like clockwork.
Darren spilled some coffee on himself. He just started drinking coffee, so he's still learning the ropes.
I have a drinking problem. The problem is getting it in my mouth.
That's a drop.
Did you really just start drinking coffee?
Well, I just always hated coffee my whole life. And then I felt like I took a 9 a.m. class this year, which really fucked with my schedule. And I said, I should probably just try forcing the coffee into me so I can wake up, even if it's gross. And I managed to find a brand of coffee and a flavor that I like. So, I'm kind of sticking with it for now.
What is it?
Folgers, French vanilla. Nothing fancy. But
do you put creamer in it, milk?
Half and half.
Okay.
Just a little
drop. But,
you
could also just get the French vanilla creamer and then make any coffee brand you buy taste like that.
Everything else I've ever tried tastes like shit, even when I put milk in it. So I'm just happy I found something and I'm not fucking with the formula.
Reasonable.
How do you brew the coffee?
I have a coffee maker.
Nice.
At home.
The traditional way.
Oh, is there... Yeah. What do you do? Do you like grind the beans yourself and stuff?
I don't grind them like this. I don't masturbate the beans.
I'm a coffee noob. What do you want me to do? I don't know.
I have a coffee grinder, but I mean, I'm like way far advanced. But I would say that like when I make espresso. I don't even have a coffee maker.
Your coffee exploits are the coffee version of liking Dua Lipa demos.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
I really dove into the coffee experience. But I had the same issue as you. Is like my first experiences with coffee, I was like, this is gross. How do people drink it? And then eventually it's like I realized like, oh, the coffee that I drank was terrible, which was at the time my parents drank Senka, which is the worst fucking
That's
coffee.
Like 1970s New York diner coffee.
100%. Yeah, well, it's decaf. That's the whole thing. It's not even...
What's the point?
Yeah.
It's like non-alcoholic beer. What's the point?
The point is just for the taste. Like, I feel like there's some desserts that I just need to have coffee with, and sometimes you just don't want caffeine. You just want the coffee flavor, like having a donut. I just love having it with coffee.
I'm not advanced enough in the coffee world yet to want to drink coffee when I don't need to wake up.
Right. The point I was getting at is the brand of coffee is very, very important in terms of like how good the flavor is. So if you like French vanilla, I mean, Folgers is very basic bitch, Darren.
It is.
You know, not to
it
judge.
Is.
It's like the McDonald's of coffee.
It's entry level.
But let me say this. I have tried, and coffee is something I always wanted to like and can't like, just like fried shrimp. I just can't do it. It looks great, but then I put it in my mouth and it tastes disgusting. So I've been the same way with coffee. So because of that, I've always tried to find coffee that I like, and I would try things, or if my wife would drink something, or, you know, whatever the case may be, anyone I was with. I would, you know, or if I were at their house, I would try coffee at times, or just buy coffee, try to drink it, and it tastes like shit. I tried many different kinds of coffee. It isn't, and this is the first time I ever found it not to be disgusting. So I might just not like most coffees. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's terrible. There's like bitter, shitty, like fruity flavored coffee. That's what I had to find too. I like a good mocha Java. Or something something a little more
Java
on the chocolate. I like chocolate notes. I like a medium or a dark roast.
Notes? What the fuck notes? Are you writing a symphony?
I've said that you, the more you dive into coffee, the more you learn these phrases. That's how you know how to pick out what you like. You're laughing at me. You're saying you're picky. I'm trying to explain to you how to define your taste, and you're mocking me.
I just want to say I was working on a Folgers endorsement behind the scenes, and you fucked it all up. We have to delete it before. You just killed it. You know, I was all ready to sing "Best Part of Waking," and then like they're gonna hear is basic bitch coffee now.
Thankfully, Rob didn't mention any other brands by name, so at least
Mocha Java.
It's fine. Yeah,
Mocha
Java
isn't a brand.
That's my way of making coffee. I'm not as the K cup, the Keurig.
Oh,
which
I think is the worst.
Most basic bitch, but it's easy.
Yeah.
I like it.
Are you doing that to piss off Republicans?
Does it?
I don't know. There was some. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was some controversy that they. I don't want to even say the wrong thing. I think they had some like.
I do remember something of people throwing it. Like Keurig said something that
they said something
pro
gay or something. And
or
they
yeah, like anti Trump or something. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
But I've never had Keurig that tasted good.
I loaded up with creamer. Fine.
Wow. Does that mean I'm ahead of the curve of from
yeah Folgers? I would say a Folgers is better than a.
But you could get Folgers.
You could put Folgers in the Keurig.
The K-Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
K-Cups. It's just the kind of coffee maker.
Of those type of machines, I prefer the Nespresso. I think those taste much better.
I got a Ninja.
Ninja coffee maker.
I didn't know they made coffee makers. Interesting.
Really good. Nice. Clean brew.
Well, one thing, you know, while I'm not endorsing Folgers, I will endorse the new album from Cannibal Corpse. Next month, Cannibal Corpse releases their 15th studio album, Violence Unimagined, via Metal Blade Records. And Violence Unimagined is a state-of-the-art death metal album played with passion and breathless precision, making for another flawless addition to the band's celebrated catalog. They got Eric Rutan in the band now. It's going to be ridiculous. You can pre-order your copy of Violence Unimagined right now at metalblade.com/cannibalcorpse. And if you need yourself a little more corpse grinder, Metal Injection just posted a one-hour interview with George, our good friend George, conducted by Frank. And you really get to know our buddy George, our buddy Corpsey, as I like to call him. Violence Unimagined, the new album from Cannibal Corpse, out next month, metalblade.com/cannibalcorpse to pre-order.
Violence Unimagined, that's what happens when Rob goes out of the cafe and they don't have his Mocha Java.
No, well, that's incorrect. I don't need to go to the cafe anymore. I just make my own.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But sometimes I will have to. I did actually, I was at a Dunkin' Donuts this morning because I'm a big French cruller guy.
Oh,
even
yeah.
That's
talk about basic bitch pastries.
I'm just no matter what, like that's like that's I specifically crave the Dunkin' Donuts version. And so occasionally I'll like go in and get one. And so now they have this cold brew at Dunkin' Donuts, and like I don't know why I always fall for it when Dunkin' Donuts tries to be Starbucks, because they never succeed. The whole point of Dunkin' Donuts is they're not Starbucks. They are the working man's coffee brand.
I always heard that Dunkin' Donuts had like the best fucking coffee in the universe, though. Me having no valid opinion on this, that's just what I gathered from people.
I will say that's like there are Dunkin' diehards who absolutely swear it's the best tasting coffee, and these people must be from another planet, because Dunkin' Donuts coffee, no matter the thing, if it's espresso, coffee, like the way the coffee is made, always tastes exactly the same, and it's disgusting. and this cold brew is just, it's like, oh, it's just cold Dunkin' flavored coffee.
Now, can I ask you what a cold brew is? They just leave it in the pot? Like, what's cold brew mean?
Cold brew, you brew it without heating up the coffee. So basically, you you grind the beans up coarsely, and you kind of put it in like a a mesh tube, essentially, so water can get through it, and then you put it in a pitcher with the water. You leave it overnight so it brews cold. And then the advantage of this is the caffeine content is significantly stronger in the cold brew than if you were to brew it traditionally.
I see. Sounds disgusting as fuck. That's all I'm going to say.
No, it's good. Yeah, I mean, it's no different than iced coffee. Yeah. It's basically iced coffee. It's just a different way to make it.
Okay. The other one I've heard that has great coffee is McDonald's. Is that true?
Their coffee's all right. Yeah, but like it's for what it is, you know, like.
Well, that's what I would think, but the people I've talked to rave about it like it's the best. It's just the best coffee, period. Like, forget about.
I want to go that far. I want to go that far.
Oh, you have a very high-minded palate for coffee.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think Starbucks is, like, Starbucks to me is terrible, but also if I'm, like, out of town or whatever, and, like, I see a Starbucks, I'm like, okay, at least I know that, like, the quality level is at a certain level that I can expect.
Just whereas like Domino's.
No. It'd be better than Domino's. It'd be more like finding a Burger King or a McDonald's. Okay. Which I would put a tier above Domino's.
Okay.
But anyway, getting off topic here, we were talking about the Grammys. The thing I wanted to mention was the In Memoriam segment. Every year, like clockwork, people get mad at this fucking In Memoriam segment because of who someone was left out or whatever. And first of all, metalheads and rock musicians, this is the only way to get them to care about the Grammys. Just be pissed off about the
snub somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, just to be pissed off about the In Memoriam segment.
Who gives a fuck?
So Eddie Van Halen passed away, and look, Eddie Van Halen he's not just someone known in the metal world. I feel like he's known in the greater music world. He's a music icon, you know. He was a pop star in the 80s.
Yeah. Oh,
who cares?
So, you know, it would be fair to expect a tribute from the Grammys, and I want to play what they did. And I thought, honestly, like when I saw this, as I was watching this, without looking at social media, I thought it was like a nice little,
moment. They did do something and it wasn't enough, is the story?
Right.
I thought you were going to say they didn't do anything at all.
They did that's what I'm saying. Like, they did something, and I was like, okay, so here's what they did.
Passed away. It's sad. All right.
So it's a whole In Memoriam segment, and so they're showing a few people. Then they show that, like, Little Richard died. Let me stop the show. They show Little Richard died, and for Little Richard, they brought out Bruno Mars, and he performed a Little Richard song.
Uh-huh.
And then they continued the In Memoriam segment and showing more people that died. And then it got to this part with Eddie Van Halen. And this is what they did. They basically showed a little clip of the Eruption solo.
This seemed fine to me.
And they had his guitar sitting there with a spotlight on it.
Dear Grammy, it's an outrage. How dare you have Bruno Mars for Little Richard?
And then,
no,
then they kept
Mars
going.
Eddie Van Halen.
So to be fair, the whole tribute is 15 seconds, 20 seconds maybe.
Okay.
Right? So first, this starts with Eddie Trunk. It was the first one that I saw.
Eddie Trunk complaining,
yes.
Okay.
And he writes, and I'll do it in the reviewer voice. Darren. I don't want to steal Darren's bit. Darren, I'll throw it in. I'll message it to you, so Darren, you could read it.
Oh, okay.
And,
well, I wouldn't have minded if you did it, but I'll read it. Let's see. I've done four. You know, I feel like we can. In the chat or
in the
personal chat. Okay.
Yeah, I should put it. I'll throw it in both.
That's okay. I got it.
So in a more than 3-hour show.
This is Eddie Trunk.
Is all the Academy could muster for an icon.
That's all caps.
I am beyond outraged and disgusted. New lows
even by Grammy standards. They had 5 months to do something. Wolf Van Halen had a number one rock song. That he, what's his number one rock song?
He did a song. It's like a ballad about his dad dying.
Was it a number one rock song, or did he mean he put out one rock song?
It was number one on the rock charts, but also, though, I mean, like, it's the rock charts.
That means he went to take
it's not very hard
and then missed the whole thing. That's what happened. that he could have played. Could have had a guitarist do Eruption. Could have said his name. Isn't that worse to have somebody do the guy's
Yeah, who's going to do
song?
That?
That's what I'm thinking here. It's like if they had somebody do Eruption, then it would just lead to people bitching. Like, how dare they get anybody else to try to do this classic Eddie Van Halen Eruption?
Yeah.
But, you would have heard Eddie Trunk bitching. You butchered it! It's terrible! Could have said his name in the open when you did mention artists who died. This is pathetic, but sadly expected with this organization, who are nothing but a popularity contest. Lost for rock since they gave Tull the Grammy over Metallica.
Still talking about that.
Poor Jethro Tull.
Poor Jethro Tull is right. Jethro Tull's perfectly good. Fuck
what
you.
What did they do? It wasn't their fault.
Yeah, what are they supposed to do? We refuse this Grammy because Metallica is much better than us.
Yeah.
But truly a new low in disrespect to my... I don't dispute that. Wouldn't it be... So if there's a low disrespect, doesn't that mean a lot of respect? If it's a new low
that's,
disrespect? Yeah. Double negative. Astonishing! Wow, he's so fired up about this. I guess this is his lane. This is like the only thing.
Yeah, this is absolutely his lane.
How much longer are the fucking Altechaches that he plays on his show going to be relevant in news? Like, this is like the waning period of any relevance that they have. And for him to get upset about it is like when one of them dies.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, for him to say, like, most people in this in memoriam segment did not get a moment like this.
Yeah, what the fuck?
He was the only one. The rest just got a slide. And him saying they had could have had a guitarist eruption. We've already explained how people would have complained about that.
Yeah.
Could have said his name in the open when you did mention artists who died. I'm imagining he's talking about like Trevor Noah introducing the show, and he may have mentioned we've lost artists this year like Little Richard and somebody else. Like, he's upset that they didn't mention him passingly in a monologue.
Yeah.
You know?
Whatever.
So that was that. But then Chris Jericho.
Helen Reddy died. She didn't get shit. I'm
Chris
very mad about that. I have a female torch song blog that I'm going to write a rant about. Just like Eddie Trunk.
Well, so then Chris Jericho sees this and he adds to the pile on. Because, you know, Chris is also a big fan of Eddie and Van Halen. And he writes, "Hey, Recording Academy, no tribute to Eddie Van Halen tonight?" Which is false. They did have a tribute to him. Okay, "No tribute to Eddie Van Halen tonight? You and your bullshit awards can go fuck your ass."
Make him humble.
And then this was the best part. "And don't ever try to give my band a nomination."
Oh, don't worry.
I'd rather win a Razzie Award. Hashtag fuck off Grammys. Hashtag Grammys.
Is he an actor now? Do they nominate like wrestlers or musicians for Razzies?
I don't think they nominate music for Razzies. I think just the point that he was making was he would rather be nominated for like a worst music thing than be acknowledged by the Grammy Board, I think is complete bullshit. I'm sure if in 2 years, you know, he gets a Grammy nomination, he's going to be on that fucking red carpet. He's going to be all about it. Like,
he lives to have some like different music credentials that he can go and tell like wrestlers about.
I think we can rest assured that's not going to be an issue.
You don't think the Grammys will ever nominate him?
No. I don't think he'll make the in memoriam when he dies. I think
do you think
Jericho free.
Do you think if he were to die and then not make the in memoriam, will Eddie Trunk Instagram a post about how furious he is?
I was about to say Eddie Trunk would long have been dead beforehand, but Chris Jericho is a wrestler, so probably not.
This man gave the music industry his life. He got CTE from all the touring he did.
From all the speakers falling on his head. Oh, wait, that's Noah. Sorry.
No, it just kept happening.
Now watch Chris Jericho dies from a speaker falling on his head, and it's the live cast curse.
He spread his wonderful music to crowds all through 20. Oh, that was COVID. He spread COVID through all the crowds through 2020.
If state fairs had Grammy Awards, Chris Jericho would get nominated.
He was such a good spreader, they called him a super spreader.
That could be like a new finishing move for him.
Super spreader.
Instead of the Walls of Jericho, it's a similar enough move, just call it the super spreader.
It's like the thing that the Dudley boys used to do. They would spread the guy's balls open and do the headbutt.
Rough move.
Oh.
Anything with the balls being stretched or spread. Rob's in favor.
I don't like them being smashed, though. I'm not a ball smasher.
What about
ball smasher?
What about if you did the
sandpaper?
What if you did the like simulated ball smashing where no one gets hurt, but it's just acted out like a scenario?
Okay, maybe. We'd have to work it out.
By the way, the two of you both simultaneously put Ball Smasher in the chat as an episode title.
Yeah, I think that locked
Ball Smasher! Sandpaper!
Is there a cover of Sandpaper on that new Cannibal Corpse album?
Oh, my God. Mm.
No, that's on the next 6 Feet Under album.
Gotcha.
Another 6 Feet Classics with Chris Barnes.
What about when Chris Barnes dies? You think they'll do anything for him? That'll be in the little known Grammys thank fucking God memoriam. finally real.
Oh, I don't want to wish death on anybody.
It's like Gigi Allen and Seth Putnam and him.
We should do every like December, we should do like a finally they died reel, like on our show.
Oh,
just like
no.
An inventory of people were happy that died.
Great idea. Maybe not even happy, but like we should call it like, you know what? Okay.
this is fine.
I mean, not going to cry about it. Rob, you all right there? You frozen?
I'm okay. I'm here.
I'm thinking if he could make that work for like a Metal Injection post.
No, I would not. That would be. Come on. I'm trying to think like who am I happy died recently? The only one that comes to mind is Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh.
Ah, yeah. So we can do an in memoriam of people in bands who died, and the band name somehow makes it sort of funny that they died.
Well,
like the D's Nuts guy, or when that guy from Early Graves died a few years ago. You know,
oh, that was sad though.
Of, like ironic band name deaths.
The one doesn't quite make it, but like the Tim Lambesis lay burning in the
as they lay dying,
as I lay burning in the bed.
That could be like an almost in memoriam for his wife.
Yeah.
Like if only he didn't fuck up in memoriam.
Yeah. Sure.
Speaking of, we might have to be putting Sharon Osbourne's talk show career in the in memoriam category.
You think?
Because
the other side of this girl. Good. Good.
Well, I thought so too until the stuff from today, But let's recap. So last week, I mean, this is so true. This is just like the gossipiest of gossip. But bear with us here, folks.
She's a friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Hello.
Cheryl
Elford. Can I have some more, please?
Just say random British things in her voice.
Steak and kidney pudding. When you said pudding, it was almost like Bill Cosby, like Sharon Osbourne turning into Bill Cosby.
Would you like the jello pudding and sit on the lap and eat somebody's pills? It's good for you. Ozzy, come over here. Oh, you already passed out. You don't need any roofies.
Ozzy does sound like Rudy if you scream it right.
Rudy, come on in there and have some of the pudding.
Sharon Osbourne.
I'd say that should be the episode title, but it would get Rob in trouble.
So Piers Morgan reacted to the Meghan Markle. So there's so many. Okay, so Meghan Markle and Prince Harry Markle were interviewed by
Angela.
By Oprah, and a whole bunch of crazy stuff was going on. They were talking about how she did not enjoy her time living in the palace. And Piers Morgan is I learned this word this week, a royalist, which I guess means is a bootlegger for the king and the queen. He would not stand for this, and he called her a liar. And in general, he's been kind of on her case because I guess he claims they went out on a date once, and she said that, like, she met him for, like, a lunch once, and then she never called him back. And, like, he's held a grudge against her ever since. But Sharon Osbourne is friends with Piers Morgan. And I guess – so after Piers made these statements on his show – on that same show the next day, a black colleague started calling him out and said what he was saying was racist. And Piers Morgan just got up and walked out.
I don't even think he said it was racist. He just said he'd been on Meghan Markle's case all this time and been horrible to her. He never even got
to call him racist. He didn't get to call him racist. Yes. And then, so I guess on The Talk, which is now Sharon Osbourne's talk show here in the States, the other co-hosts were talking about it, and Osbourne's friends with Piers Morgan, and she defended him. And not only did she defend him, she started getting incredibly combative with Cheryl Underwood, who is her black co-host. And regardless of the context, like, the optics here look really bad. And I want to play this one little clip to show you. You don't even need the context here because it's just like, oh, what are you doing, Sharon Osbourne? Like, take a breath. But here it is.
Help anyway.
I mean, whatever. So, just that.
Oh, now you're cutting off the black lady. What is up with you, Rob? Come on.
I gotta say, that's just such a weird answer that Sharon goes on this unhinged rant, and then she's like, well, it's not the words of racism. But yeah, yes, it is. Like, how is that not the problem?
Right. So I can't believe she said, don't try to cry. I should be the one crying.
Like, what does that even mean? Someone said something sort of mean about my friend.
Yeah.
I should be crying.
Well, I've said this before, I think, on the show, but, like, racist is the N-word for white people. Like, they react like they got an allergic rash when you say that they're racist.
Right. There's been people, like, Fox News has it a bit, like, there's nothing worse than being called a racist, you know, which is like, oh, nothing? There's nothing? I think there's one specific thing that's worse.
No, it's obviously, but I mean, it's the only thing you can call a white person to get them to react the way that people of color react when they're called valid racial slurs.
Yeah.
Right. So after this whole altercation,
Excuse me. I don't want to burp.
Quite all right. CBS decided that they were investigating this. And so then Sharon Osbourne issued, you know, a typical Apple Notes apology. and then there was a closed-door meeting where the show was put on internal review. And then after this was announced, a former host of the show, because the show, The Talk, has been going on for a decade now, which is, it's kind of crazy to me that this View ripoff has a legacy now. Like, that's how long it's been. So Holly Robinson-Pete, who you might remember from hanging with Mr. Cooper back in the day, she used to be a co-host on the show. And she claimed that Sharon once complained that she was too, quote, ghetto for The Talk. And she said she was mortified about the disrespectful, condescending tone. And then what Sharon Osbourne did was call her a liar and then shared an email that Holly sent her, like, thanking her for being a great co-host. But what's interesting is Holly Robinson-Pete has since said that she sent that email before she found out all the crazy things that Sharon Osbourne said about her. And that, you know, has since said to taking it back.
But first of all, that's notwithstanding the fact that that's a stupid and shitty thing to say about somebody. Just, I mean, Holly Robinson-Pete is not ghetto at all. Like, where is she getting that from? Like, she's completely like, normal and classy and educated.
So, okay. So then, so now, one of Sharon's defenses was that she's never used the term ghetto in her life, which has been proven false. There's video evidence. It's like, hey, when you've been on a talk show for 10 years, you got to really make sure when you say you've never said something that you've actually never said something, because there will be footage that pops up. And I want to quickly show this footage. And there's a reason I want to show this footage is because there is thievery here. My impression has been stolen. Here.
It's not me.
Queen's English, Queen's English. That's my impression, Leah Remini. How dare you?
You sound more like Sharon, a lot more.
Get out! Anywho.
So she's going to turn around and say, see, I say it about white people, too. Yeah.
Does she consider Italians white people, though?
Oh,
she
that's
not.
True. It could be like the 1910s racial hierarchy for her.
Well, so really, Sharon, she opened a door
really
she did not want to.
Sorry.
Really, she opened a door that she did not want open, because now, today, a brand new article was posted with new accusations of harassment and racism and abuse. And look, it's not like everyone thought Sharon Osbourne was this saint who, you know, she always had a dirty, like everyone knew she spoke her mind, you know, and she was always very, very forceful and like a shark in the negotiating room. But it seems for some reason right now is all catching up to her. And I don't even feel comfortable reading some of these things she called some of her former co-hosts.
Well, you're quoting it. It's not like you're saying it.
Well, one of her previous co-hosts was Julie Chen, who, you know, was married at the time to the chairman of CBS. And Julie Chen is of Asian descent, and Sharon, so Julie Chen was one of her co-hosts, and another co-host of hers was Sarah Gilbert, who is a lesbian, and
I say it like that,
a lesbian.
She's a French lesbian. Go ahead.
She's a lesbian.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, according to Remini, in one exchange during the first season,
they're going to put us into investigative review soon with this accent. Sorry, Rob.
Osborne said of Chen, now, should I do the Osborne accent while she's saying these vile things?
How could you not do it? You have to. You have to make it clear you're not saying it.
You're right. You're right. According to Remini, in one exchange during the first season, Osborne said of Chen, I mean, who the fuck does Slanty Eyes think she is? She shouldn't be pillow talking with our boss.
She's his wife.
Yeah.
In another
That's who
exchange.
You should be pillow talking with, yeah. isn't it?
In another exchange, according to Remini, Osborne said of Gilbert, why won't the pussy licker do anything about the wonton?
Wait, about the what?
The wonton.
The wonton.
That's what I...
Why won't the fish eater be a part of this discussion? She's the fucking executive producer. I don't understand, it's so weird that as a woman, she is using pussy liquor and fish eater as derogatory terms.
But also, she's on this show that, pretends to be woke, constantly.
Yeah,
too.
Pro-feminism. And Remini has said that that Osborne has used Italian slurs against her.
There you go.
Pussy liquor! The best of all the accusations, though. Renee Tabb, who runs her own management and production company, was a 26-year-old literary agent at ICM, the powerhouse talent and literary agency, in 2003 when she became a target of Osborne. That year, Tabb attended a New Year's Eve party hosted by Osborne and her husband, that doubled as a ceremony to renew their vows and was being filmed for their reality show. Tab attended the party as the guest of an invited guest. At the party, Ma credit cards were handed out to attendees who could accrue points by playing casino games and be entered for a prize. A necklace and earrings worth $15,000. The summer force claimed it was worth $40,000. Tab won the raffle. The next day, Tab learned that Sharon Osborne was accusing her of stealing the jewelry because she wasn't a guest directly invited by Osborne, but instead attended with a guest invited by her son, Jack Osborne. Osborne called Tab on January 1st, 2003 in the evening, and according to Tab, called her a Persian carpet cunt. Tab is Iranian-American.
So he's then, Persian.
Persian carpet cunt, is what she said. And then apparently she ran into this girl at a Japanese restaurant and called her that again and started kicking her. And there was an altercation where cops had to arrive. Mm-hmm. Well, kicking her friend and calling her a stealer. And so here's the thing. There was enough evidence that showed that she was perfectly Persian? Fine to be at this party and invited, that ICM released a statement backing her and demanding an apology from Sharon Osborne. And this was at the height of the Osbornes. So for a talent agency to do something like that, that must show how wrong she must have been at the time.
Did she apologize?
No! No! What do you think I fucking did? You Persian carpet!
Oh, damn it.
Wait, Sid, what ethnicity are you again?
Russian.
You fucking Russian prick, balls-eating motherfucker! You minx, damn it. You smell like Horoviets! You minx Merkin Muncher! I can't Minsk, it's a tongue twister. Minsk. The S before the K really messes me up. You minx.
Minx. The rest of the episode, you try to say one word.
This is like nuclear and nuclear.
Oh my god.
Minsk. Merkin Muncher. That's what I was
saying. Really Merkin. Having a hard time understanding you. I don't know. I mean,
the show was originally supposed to come back on the air tomorrow, but now after these new allegations, it's now going to be delayed until next Tuesday while the investigation continues. And I don't know, it feels like at very least Sharon Osbourne is going to have to take a leave of absence and take some sensitivity training, right? Like, they can't not do anything, I feel. This is a giant corporate, like, brand. Like you're saying, they're trying to project wokeness here.
Right. Well, that's still more punishment than when the cops shoot somebody, so that's good.
Fair.
Yeah, who's...
But also, like, it's clear on these shows that every host is extremely expendable. So, like,
right.
The second you become an issue, like, okay, we'll just find some other 60-year-old lady, whatever.
What is she? Yeah, exactly.
She's had the longest run, it seems, like her
okay,
and
so
Sarah Gilbert, I guess.
She probably makes the most money of all of them, too. So it's the financial savings for CBS also. Just get rid of her and find someone else.
Who's going to miss her? Like, what do they do on that show that makes her so indispensable? Like, just fucking regurgitating memes of the day. Like, it's nothing.
I absolutely
agree.
Steve
Harvey in a wig. Sit him on the fucking panel. It's fine. Fine.
Every show will be about the atheism and the gaseous ball and telling women how to be women better.
In a wig, though, it works. To do that, and it doesn't seem like condescending.
But leave the mustache on.
Yes.
Ah. Someone in our audience should Photoshop that, like Steve on the talk in Sharon Osbourne's seat with a wig and this big dumb mustache with soup all over it.
It is really funny. It's funny to me. This is now like that. You know, if she just didn't say anything, she'd be fine.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to blame this on like, oh, you know, I grew up in the world of metal. This is how we all talk. I don't mean anything by it.
I called everybody a carpet muncher.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's definitely going to come out saying that.
I didn't mean to yell over you. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. That's what Sharon would do.
True.
I called Yoko Ono a carpet muncher 40 years ago.
Has Kelly come out defending her mom?
She's a carpet muncher, too!
Kelly has not come out defending... I'm sure she probably called her and like, Mom, actually, you kind of came off a bit racist there.
Yeah.
Oh, is she the calming influence in the family?
I would hope. I mean, she's very active in like LGBT charities, and she's pretty woke herself, Kelly Osbourne.
I feel like heroin is the calming influence in that family.
Get him some more heroin.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, not to fall back on this the Grammys thing, but one thing I forgot to mention after all of this grandstanding. Wolfgang Van Halen, who is of course Eddie's son, he put out a statement saying that the Grammys actually asked him to perform Eruption in tribute to his dad, but he turned it down because he figured, you know, he'd never be able to like live up to that. But then he himself was like, oh, I still wish they would do more and like blah blah blah. It's like, well, what do you want? They tried to do something, you didn't want to do it.
They should have got someone better than me, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, the shitty guy that no one likes, and then that's you stop there? That's it?
You know what they really should have done? I think the only
England.
Way...
No.
The only way everyone would have been satisfied is if they just commissioned a Eddie Van Halen hologram. Just an Eddie Van Halen hologram, and then he himself would do his own tribute.
Dig them up and just bang the bones on a fucking fretboard. There you go. Good enough.
They should have got Sharon Osbourne to stand there for 45 seconds and call him a Dutch piece of shit.
Fucking windmill tilting, Edam cheese eating motherfucker.
You know, she's definitely done that before. Like, she asked them to go on Ozfest and they said no. And so she left him a racist voicemail.
He's probably in hell wearing his stupid wooden shoes. Fuck it.
Oh, that Sharon. She's such a spitfire.
riding a stupid Dutch carpet. Oh, they don't have those, Sharon.
I don't fucking care. What are you, the Encyclopedia Britannica?
She's like the Marge Schott of metal.
There's a reference.
Who's Marge Schott?
She used to own the Cincinnati Reds, and she would always get in trouble for saying racism.
Much like Lemmy, she had a lot of Nazi memorabilia that she collected.
But she meant it. Like, yeah. I kind of 50% believe Lemmy was kind of just liked how it looked or whatever.
She did. Didn't she like have a quote saying Hitler had a lot of good ideas?
Yes. No, she didn't have one quote. She was always saying that she didn't give a fuck. She might be the last like prominent U.S. person that wasn't even tempered at all by like concerns about getting in trouble.
Yeah.
She didn't give a fuck.
And she only had the team because, like, her husband owned it, and then he died, and she inherited it.
Yeah. She didn't have any business acumen.
She'd, like, take her dog on the field, and he would, like, shit all over the field, like, during warm-ups. Players would, like, step in dog shit. Yeah.
Shotzi.
Like
dog's name was Shotzi.
Yep. That's right.
Great time.
Here's a...
Every other day. Go ahead, sorry.
I have a clip of her we could play just to give a little context.
It's a little bit like Queen Elizabeth, actually. An old Jewish Queen Elizabeth. There you go.
Oh, my God.
Like, what is she doing?
She's jerking off the elephant's trunk. Bet they regret that piece, huh?
Oh, my God. She's driving a tractor.
She's Trump. She's just happy to be behind a vehicle's wheel.
Yeah.
Ah, she spoke her mind.
He's like, get your arm off me, will you?
Yeah.
Oh. These outfits.
Oh, yeah, she was also an alcoholic.
Hi, honey. She sounds like Louis Anderson in Basket.
Basket. Yeah.
Oh, what a... Is that Trout guy?
Oh, my God.
I used to love owning the Reds.
Yeah. Marge Schott.
He's shot, all right. Shot to hell.
Donald
he died, right?
Before it was cool, yeah. I feel like that must have been what that was, right? Like a retrospective after she died.
No, I thought that was like in the middle of her being in trouble. Cause
no.
It was 10 years ago.
She died in 2004.
But I think that guy, that piece was like 10 years ago, we thought she was a nice person. And now, look what's going on now. Like, I saw the angle, I thought.
I thought maybe it was like 10 years ago we did, but then a couple years later, or like, I don't know.
I could be wrong.
Maybe it was like until recently, and then now she's dead too. So, hooray. That's good. Another one that could be in the, we're okay with this person dying in memoriam.
No,
retroactively. We should do like a series where we just go back every year and be like, who is it good that died this year?
I'm in. Sounds great. Patreon episode.
Yeah. It's like a dead people hall of fame. Which I guess our meme hall of fame eventually will, they'll all be dead. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, Shlomo.
So,
who gives a fuck?
Is that woman dead?
I don't know.
I don't even know her real name. I just know her name is Propecia, like her stage name. It's just this old viral clip. You remember? Did you ever see it?
I think so. It was like a public access show, right?
I don't even know, but it was just Ask Propecia, and they would just someone would send in like a question, like, "What do I do? My girlfriend doesn't want to have sex with me or something." And she'd go, "Who gives a fuck?" You know, whatever. I have a few other clips that I never play from there. Like,
is she the dick will make you slap somebody lady?
No,
or is that a different lady?
Differently.
Watch your smell of ass and balls, you nappy motherfucker, you.
That was when Rob called in.
You sound like a goddamn pussy to me. You need to learn how to suck some goddamn dick.
That was a very long call she had with Rob.
So, Darren, you mentioned you had another COVID altercation. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, all right. So, it was Saturday. And I was taking my my laundry in, right? And I'm walking with my little grandma cart.
You're walking!
It's like a little luxury I allow myself. You know, it costs a little bit of money, but I hate doing laundry. So.
Yeah, it saves you the time. So you're paying that money to save the hour and a half that you would have to sit in a laundromat.
And they do a great job. So,
do you have laundry in your apartment building? Or
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you still have to.
It's
yeah.
more expensive, and it's like it doesn't clean a shitty machine.
No, you don't got to tell me.
Anyway, these two like 20 to 25-year-old Jews come walking by.
Hasidic?
Like, not Hasidic, but Orthodox Jews.
Okay.
Oh, Noah's just in time for the story.
Oh, okay. Hello, Noah.
Hey.
Pop it in here.
Hi, Noah. I just started telling my story about the rowdy Jewish people and my confrontation.
She's muted.
Oh, you're still
unmuted.
Muted.
Perfect timing. Sorry, guys. Hi.
No.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
I'm so glad that I can listen to the parts that I missed on the archive of the Metal Injection Livecast.
It's a great way to catch up on everything you missed. Metalinjection.net/livecast.
That's right.
So,
on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
And you can see us in video, if you like, by joining our Patreon.
But how?
Oh, I'm sorry. How, you say?
Yes.
Go to our Patreon page, Rob. Where would that be?
Yeah. Patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. $5 a month gets you access to video. You get to see Noah's new hairstyle. Hello.
And we also do lots of extra content.
Sounds like Lady Gaga even more.
Yes. So,
okay, so your story.
Yeah. So I'm taking my laundry in, walking up my little grandma cart. These two, you know, early 20s Jews are walking towards me, being rowdy, like, you know, laughing and shit with no mask. Of course, because that's what they do. So they're spewing their like spittle into the air and stuff. And I don't say anything. I'm not going to give them a lecture or nothing. I just step into the street, like off the sidewalk between cars, because that's what I do. And I wait for them to pass. If I didn't have my cart, I would probably go all the way into the street, you know. But I have an unwieldy cart and shit, so I don't want to have to jog
a car.
So now
you're in between cars?
In between cars, 10 feet away, let them pass, and then I go back in the sidewalk. That's what I would normally do. But they get offended, right? Like as if I'm treating them
You're the asshole.
They're animals, right? I didn't say a word. I didn't look at them. I just did my thing, what I have to do, to pretend they get offended. And the one guy goes, "What are you, a fucking dick?"
Jeez. Well,
so I had a process.
Well,
and this is on Shabbos. He says this.
Yeah,
Shabbos.
Well, it was the end of Shabbos. It was like it was over. It was
so he was
Saturday
feeling
night.
His oats at this point.
Right. So I said, I had a process, and I was like, "Wait, what did you just say to me?" I said, "Do you know me to be talking to me like that? Like, what are you, my uncle?" It's like he says, "Shut the fuck up. You're scared of the fucking flu."
Oh my God.
So then I got mad, and then my, like, snark bomb went off inside of me, and I said, "Hey, isn't it Saturday? Did you ask the magical wizard in the sky if he can be outside today? Because I don't want you to, like,
I don't want you to break any 5,500-year-old made-up rules and, you know, piss off the magical man. So now he starts talking shit. Now I insulted his religion. Now he's like, he wants to fight me. So
what does he say? Do you remember?
I don't know.
How does he retort to that?
No, he visibly got mad in his face. His friend is really embarrassed, and his friend looks like he knows that I will beat the living shit out of both of them. Like two string beans, you know? And but he doesn't know. He's not processing this information. So he looks like he really wants to fight. Like he learned two MMA moves and he wants to test them out. And so I was very calm. Like I always say, 20-year-old me, I would have put them in the hospital. But I was very calm. I was very proud of myself, actually. And I just said, look.
And I just stabbed them. You were going to say,
no.
I was calm and I just stabbed them.
That is 20-year-old me. No, I
with your cart.
Yeah. I just said, look, I don't want to come near you because you're a fucking germ factory. But if you want to come at me, I will be forced to defend myself. And it's not going to go well for you. So it's your choice. And he just kind of looked at me, like deciding if he should like throw a punch at me. And he's like, fuck it. And he just turned around and walks away. So I walk away. So I go back in the street. I turn my little cart around and I start walking towards the laundry. And this is the epilogue. I hear from way behind me. Yeah, bitch, walk away, bitch.
Oh my God.
And I go, you were just face to face with me when you could have ran at me and throw and tackled me. It gave me
you should have ran him over with your cart at that point.
Oh, my God.
I know. I just laughed.
Full
what,
speed.
The guy is such an absurd pussy. Like, what's the point? Like, what am I? He's owning himself by saying that.
Absolutely.
So I just left.
The thing that's amazing to me is that they're 100% okay wearing a mask on the top of their head.
Mandatory.
But just taking that mask and moving it a couple inches over to the front of their head.
No good.
Beyond the pale. Can't do it.
Can you imagine, though, like you have
that perfect sense. This? Ridiculous.
Right. You have accredited doctors who went to medical school for 8 years, who studied virology. 99.995% of them say, please, wear a fucking mask. That you will never listen to. The fucking book that was unearthed from dirt that says the universe was formed by a Rebbe, a magical Rebbe from grains of sand and wants you to not eat foods from a certain animal and women shouldn't talk and when they menstruate they should live in a private bath and also certain blends of cotton and other things. You can't go out on a certain day until like 6:40. Wait, what time? 6:47 this week.
Yeah.
And when you have a Slurpee, it can't have certain artificial colors in it. That's what we should listen to. And that makes sense, but wearing a mask is fucking stupid and you're scared of the flu.
It's
Can you
incredible.
Imagine?
It...
And they don't see
and
the irony.
They're so aggressive with you.
Right,
it's,
I know that you don't usually see
juice.
It.
Maybe he might have been hangry, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I noticed around this neighborhood? I see this a lot. Like there's little clusters of young-ish Jewish people, like 20 to 25, who can't decide if they want to be hoodlums or if they want to go to shul. So they kind of straddle the line and they do, but they go, they hang out by the pool hall and they smoke cigarettes and, you know.
It's like the Amish on Rumspringa.
It is.
When they're out in the world deciding what they want to do.
Rumspringa.
This reminds me of an interaction in the locker room of the
Uh-oh.
Russian,
oh,
the Russian
no.
gym.
Oh, no.
Like I mentioned, some people just have no regard for personal space. And I'm in there, you know, and I just hear, in like another corner of the room. I don't see this. I just hear it. Bro, could you back off already, bro? And then I hear it back like, excuse me? And the guy's like, bro, why you got to be on top of me? All right. Give me some space. Step back, bro. Okay. Calm down. And I'm not your bro, okay?
Was the bro guy also Russian?
And just, I think so I'm like, what do these people look like? You know? But then before I could look, you know, where the guy's like, I'm not your bro, the response from the other guy was like, he goes like literally like this, hold on. Bro, I'll fuck you up, son. Like that. Bro, you better back up, I'll fuck you up, son. And I had to go and look and
the tiniest men you've ever seen.
Because first of all,
like, laughing at this point.
I tried not to. I don't want to get fucked up, son.
Yeah, you might turn around. He's fucking 6'7", 350 or something.
But this guy, so the don't call me bro is like this 5'5" refrigerator looking guy, like a square.
A nice five.
And then the other guy is like a 5'10", 100-pound guy.
Oh,
who is just like the skinniest, like Adidas tracksuit, like he's a gym guy. Bro, back up! I'll fuck you up, sorry, I'm gonna fuck.
What happened?
That was it. That was the whole thing.
Wait, hold on. Were they in bathing suits? Were they nude since it was the locker room? Just towels? Like, what's going on?
No one needs to quantify the nudity.
What?
Any story?
The guy.
Everyone had clothes on in my story, by the way. I just want to recap that.
They're
go
not
ahead.
On their faces.
No.
Naked faces.
The bro guy had a tracksuit. It looked like he was just coming back from the gym. And he had a mask on. The other guy was just entering the gym. So he was still fully dressed with the jacket on. No mask. Mm,
okay. What about the ages?
The aggressor was early 20s. The don't call me bro, 40s.
Okay. Mm.
So who was right? Like, was the guy actually on top of him? Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, I think, well, I didn't see it, but based on my, like, if he's like, dude, like, you don't have to hover over me, like, move over, that's a completely reasonable thing to say, you know?
Yeah, I get that a lot. Like, I go to the Russian stores to get cold cuts and stuff, and, like, they just will fucking stand in your pocket, man. It's
no
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal.
There's like, a virus going around, dude. The fuck?
You're just scared of the flu.
Yeah.
That's it.
Big pussy. Scared of having my lungs turn to cement. What a loser to be worried about that.
Well, what's surprising to me is there's another person not afraid of getting it, and that's Zoltan Bathory from Five Finger Death Punch.
Amazing.
He'll
his name is
up.
Yeah, he'll fuck you up, bro. His name has Bath in it, and he's not worried about germ.
Zoltan is now a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Noah, how do you feel about this?
About it. Because most, like, pretty much everyone who I've met who trains jiu-jitsu just...
Oh, and also I want to mention, sorry, before you go, he got the belt from Royler Gracie of the world famous...
Hoyler. The R-H's.
Yeah, Rob, come on. Royler sounds ridiculous.
Hoyler
is a normal name.
Hoyler Gracie of the world-famous jiu-jitsu family of the Gracies.
He was born in Edmonton, I heard. He was an Edmonton Hoyler.
Hockey humor.
That's for Leroy.
Go on, Noah.
Yeah,
I know. I know I sent you guys the story, but I just couldn't even read it. I was so upset because I'm not.
Which one is Hoyler? Is he on the right?
All of them.
Well, this is Zoltan in the middle.
Oh,
I know
who Zoltan is.
And Hoyler is this guy.
Joe Rogan in the middle, and then Samoa Joe on the right. That's cool that they're all in the same class.
Here's Zoltan and Hoyler.
Hoyler?
Now, well, and so
a red belt, that's like really like
that
you
above
just,
black belt.
You can submit someone like with your mind.
One,
it's like Spinal Tap.
Why don't they just make the black belt the highest one? And like, no, this goes to 11. This is the red is
yeah.
above
yeah,
the black.
Exactly
is that what it is?
11.
Red is the 11. Oh, I didn't know that. So
just
make
the
a,
black belt higher.
Hoyler sort of looks like if Baba Booey had plastic surgery.
No.
It totally does.
Also, though, like, this guy, does this guy look threatening at all? This guy looks like he goes to the Russian gym,
that's why
you know?
But look at
it.
at his foot, Rob. He's got tattoos all over his foot. That's only.
That's what I'm saying. He's
so judgmental. You could be any body size. It's just like your discipline and training.
I'm giving him a compliment. I'm saying like this guy.
Does this guy look threatening?
Hold on, let me finish. You're not letting me finish. I'm going to say if the three of us approached him, the three men here, he would beat all of us up. You know, like I would. He's. That's true.
Sid, the tattoo thing is misleading. He just fought someone who had tattoos and kicked them really hard, and they all fell off. Yeah.
I am really glad that all these people made sure to get the vaccine before posing for this photo, though.
Definitely. Oh, sure. Yes, they all have their certificates there.
Is that Serge Tankian in the background there, in like the upper left hand side there, in like the second to last row?
I see
Serge Tankian. Yeah, there you go.
Oh yeah.
In fact, like 45% of these people look like Serge Tankian. To be honest with you,
that guy's actually his name is Hoyler Tankian.
Hoyler.
Here's Dave Meltzer, Darren.
Kind of looks also like Jeff, old RIP.
Oh yeah.
The Serge got very mad about the Azerbaijan army and went to learn MMA to take them all out.
He's gonna do it himself.
How are these gis, Noah? Are they top-notch gi? Are they like? Do they look expensive?
Well, one of them looks like a school gi, mm-hmm. which is the Gracie one, and then he's wearing Sanibel, which is a reputable jujitsu company. I actually have one of those, but it might be not too big for me right now.
Can you put that picture back up that you just had? They looked like they seriously skipped leg day for like a decade.
It looks like somebody photoshopped baby legs onto them.
It looks like if Dorf on golf did karate.
Dorf on jujitsu. I'd watch that. That'd be great.
Totally.
Oh, man.
Jesus Christ. It's two spaghetti strings.
Here it looks better in this picture.
That's funny. Yeah. Like all the grips that those pants endured. That's why you got a black belt. 13 years
Rob.
Of grips.
Do they grip your pants, Noah, when you do this?
Wait.
Of course.
All I gotta do is if gripping your crotch gets you a black belt, then I'm a fucking red belt over here.
Ew. You're the Andrew Cuomo.
Ankle grip. Knee.
Try to get his black belt on that love bus with Noah. It didn't work out.
Oh.
What kind of guard he likes to play.
Have you done any, I'm guessing you haven't visited any jiu-jitsu gyms in
Mm-mm.
Arizona. So now I know I wanted to ask, it's been like a few months now. Are you digging the Arizona vibes? Are you a little homesick? A little bit of both?
I mean, I do miss like you guys and my family in New York, but so far I really like Arizona. The weather just can't beat it. There's a lot of things to do outside. Also, there's like more space to live where I live, which is really nice. And so far, it's just been very, just a very positive experience.
You haven't been there in the summer yet, though, right? Like, it's going to be insane. It's going to be like 120 degrees every day.
It's a dry 120, Sid.
Mm. Yeah.
And Noah's from the desert.
Yeah, I guess that's
true.
Yeah,
I'm like, fair. I can't wait to see what that feels like.
Oh my God.
Have you checked out the ammunition museum?
Just the missile museum, which brought up to Josh Barnett. There's like an airplane junkyard that I want to go to where they have like all like the old like war and like military planes. And you just like, it's like just a huge lot and you can walk around, but.
How's the airport?
Yeah, the airport.
We're just throwing nuch into these words now. Echport.
Is there a vibrant Israeli community there?
We did meet one Israeli person that we became friendly with.
Oh.
He's from Montreal.
That's not Israel. I found an Israel now. Sorry.
Well, he was born in Israel, then he lived in France, and then he moved to Montreal, then to California, then Arizona, really want to know. His trajectory.
What a downward trajectory. Good God. First of all, just France to Montreal is already like a weird, and then to end up in Arizona after all of that.
Yeah, the next step is living in a dumpster behind a dollar store.
They have those in Arizona, so you might be doing that already. don't know. Was he wearing a mask when you met him? This might be the same person Darren ran into.
Ah!
No.
He was so ashamed of himself after that encounter. He went and flew to Arizona to be far away from me.
And lied about his identity, said he was from Montreal. Do he have an accent of any kind?
He's not Orthodox. He's Israeli and he's Jewish, but I don't think, you know, the guys that you bumped into were Hasidic.
Yeah, but not Hasidic. They were like regular Orthodox.
Oh, like Orthodox Jews.
They were like the first level into being really Jewish.
Have you gone like shul shopping? Have you checked out the local temples?
You got to have a nice pair of shuls when you want to go out.
So we were just looking for like a Jewish bakery because we want to get challah and stuff like that. So we found a Jewish bakery.
Nice. How far? Is it like inconvenient or is it close enough?
Everything is there to be like 15 to 20 minutes away.
It's not bad.
Which is pretty good.
Does the bakery have babka?
Yes, ooh, they do. They have chocolate and cinnamon.
Did you have?
They have rugala. They have pastries.
What have you tried?
Okay, so we're trying to like sample everything like a little bit at a time, like every week. They have like this huge rugala. It was okay. Didn't love it. Croissants. Is this really interesting? Strawberry pound cake.
For me.
Rob just wants to know about the babka. Have you had the babka yet?
I'm confused. I thought it was pronounced.
I thought it was sold out.
So maybe that's the good thing. I thought it was pronounced rugula.
Rugula. Well, it's funny, you know, I was just reading about this because somebody found like an old Metz cookbook from like 1982, and it had a recipe from Fred Wilpon that he made rugula.
Oh my God.
And he spelled it rugula, like A-H. So I feel like the secular Jews say rugula.
Yeah.
And the hardcore Jews hit the H kind of hard.
Rugalach.
Oh, you know what we had like last Friday or the Friday before? We had an afikoman.
What's that?
Which was for Purim. It's that like triangle cookie.
Oh, like hamantaschen? Is that Israeli name?
Yeah, sorry. I said the wrong thing.
What's that thing you said, though?
I don't know. I don't know.
Uh-oh. Israeli guy, help us out here.
that's weird. That was like a weird thing that came to my head, I guess, from childhood. But I think
now
it has to do with
repressed memory about the open kofen. What was that? Open kofen?
Afikoman is a half piece of matzah which is broken in two during the early stages of the Passover Seder and set aside to be eaten as a dessert after the meal.
Wow. Which, by the way, I have been passing at my local supermarket. They've set up like a matzah stand like right by the checkout. And it's taking
just to troll you.
It's taking all of my willpower not to pick up a case of egg matzah because it's so good. But it is unbelievable how unhealthy matzah is.
Really?
It is pure carbs. It is the worst carbs.
Can I tell you how to make it like the best and even more unhealthy? This is my favorite thing to do.
With Nutella? You don't have to tell me. That's why I have to avoid it, because I have eaten like a whole box and it's just like I've gained 7 pounds in a week from eating matzah. And that's why I've stopped eating matzah. Just because it is such a good base for Nutella, for other sweet spreads, and it leads to trouble.
It's like one step away from us putting a spoon in the Nutella jar and just eating that directly.
Exactly. Exactly.
Isn't it better because you're not eating the spoon? So it's less because you're not having matzah. It's better.
Some people go even crazier. They melt chocolate and they dip it in the chocolate and then they have the chocolate matzah. Oh, okay. I need to go get matzah.
All right.
That's all I would use matzah for. I wouldn't like sandwiches with it. The dessert.
Yeah,
it seems like if you tried to make a sandwich with it, wouldn't it just crumble and break in your hands before you even were able to take a couple bites out of the sandwich?
No.
No, really?
You got to do it correctly.
I don't know what that means. Also, I haven't had matzah probably since I was like 8 years old, so.
I've had matzah braai.
I haven't even had that.
I've had that before. It was okay. Do you like it?
I love it.
What is it?
It's like a little, it's like mixed with eggs. It's just like a little mashup of eggs with matzo crumbles in it.
Oh, yeah. My grandma's
ingredient.
Isn't it steamed?
I would say sauteing it in a pan is the way to go, but I don't know. Okay, I guess it could be steamed also.
Yeah, my grandma would saute it in a pan.
I also like, while we're on the topic of matzah, I also like matzah with egg salad.
Matzah goes with everything. It's fucking
Sid is
great.
A deviled egg guy, so he might like that.
I like egg salad too, though. I'm good with all that.
I like a good tuna and egg salad. Go crazy. Combine the two.
On matzah?
Sure.
With Nutella on the side?
No, the Nutella has to be saved for later.
Yeah, well, that's why it's on the side.
Okay, that's fair. Once you can't mix it with the
tuna. You just dip your finger in it between bites of the...
it's like the sorbet, the palate cleanser.
Yeah. Get a nice sticky chocolate mouth. Your tuna and egg sandwich. Do you think Sharon Osbourne ever called anyone sticky chocolate mouth? Probably. It
sticky
like
chocolate mouth! Those Belgians are in their chocolate. Those stinky chocolate carpet riding pricks.
They don't have the carpet is not a thing for Belgium.
Shut up! Who's talking to you?
Next week on the show, Sharon Osbourne sits in.
Yeah. Good. We had her at the right time. We booked it months ago. Who knew this was going to happen?
She's a woman
of her word. Definitely has nothing else to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, her schedule is cleared up big time. All right. And our schedule is clearing up as we wind it down. And as we wrap it up, I want to mention our music break, where we each pick a song. It's a Spotify playlist that you can get on our episode page. It's free. And every episode, we each pick a song. So there's four songs an episode. This week, I picked Cox, Something's Gone Wrong Again, Buzzcocks, very fun punk band from England. And I've just been kind of in a punk mood, a hardcore punk kind of mood lately. And I was reminded of Buzzcocks, and I really, really like the song. It's very, very heavy, despite not being at all metal, but it's very fast-paced. Power pop. That's my pick. Noah, what did you pick?
I, the other day I was in the car and this song came on and I was just like, oh my God, this is like one of my favorite starts to a song. You just can't beat it. High on Fire, Snakes for the Divine, right? Is that what it is? And yep. It's just the best song. It's definitely like everybody knows this song, High on Fire. And when it comes up, well, like when Matt Pike starts playing it live, it's just like you just go crazy. So, just in case someone hasn't heard it, you can hear it on our playlist.
Great Did? Pick.
Fun, fun, fun by the Big Boys. Yesterday, while Rob was doing his Buzzcocks deep dive, he asked me what other old school hardcore and punk bands he should check out, and that was one of the ones I listed. They were. They're sort of like the inspiration for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but like if the Red Hot Chili Peppers were a hardcore punk band in the early 80s. So they are sort of like the party punk band of that era. They're from Austin, Texas, and they were very good. And the song is, as it says, fun, fun, fun.
Durinsky, yeah.
Durinsky picked A Hem of Your Garment by Cake, which is from the Cake album that I like the best. It's called Prolonging the Magic. And it's a very upbeat song with really downbeat, shitty mood lyrics, which I always like that combination.
Nice.
The lyrics about supplicating yourself to someone that you don't deserve. But it's a very upbeat, up-tempo number.
That's like how Rob feels about Pepe.
I like when those people are in conflict.
Is that a... Are they still around?
Oh, that I couldn't tell you. I don't know. They don't have like a recent album or anything.
Right. Yeah, I just
What was their last album? Let's see.
I just remember them being huge in like early 2000s, right?
Yeah, they have, well, they have the
2011 was their last album release.
The one big "I'm Going the Distance." That's like their one big single. But they have a lot of good songs.
Oh, is it? I thought "Short Skirt, Long Jacket" is there. Oh no,
that
I guess
the more recent
is there.
"Sheep Go to Heaven."
They did release a demo for a new song 2 months ago. So
oh, really?
They're still active, even if they haven't put out an album since.
Very non-SEO band title.
Oh, my God.
Search for cake.
Oh, Never There, I think is like their big hit, I feel. Even though, I guess.
Didn't they do a cover of I Will Survive that was pretty
big? Yes. No, I'm not a fan of that one. I don't think that's.
So what's your what album is the one that you like, Darren?
Prolonging the Magic is my favorite.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So that's the one with Never There on it.
Mm-hmm. But that's old. That's like...
Yeah, 98.
What year is that? Yeah. That's one of the
crazy.
Second album, maybe?
It's their third album.
Yeah.
Well, before we get at it from here, I want to give a shout out to our top live cast fans of the week. And the way you can be a top live cast fan of the week is by joining our Patreon at the $10 tier. At the $10 tier, you get everything you get at the $5 tier, which is access to the bonus episodes, the video versions of our weekly episodes, and a shout out at the end of the show.
And I want to give a big shout out.
Are you going to do it and insult each person racially?
I'm not going to insult them racially.
Okay. How are you going to insult them?
Eric, you big-headed poof!
Freeze. I have a suggestion. Why don't you show Sharon what she should behave like and be extra courteous?
Eric, you sound like a wonderful young man! Robert Gadoosh, a.k.a. Justin, you are not a wanton! Benjamin, you are not a naughty boy. And Judy Reno, that can't really be your name, surely. Dan, no comment. Mindy Mayer's Kipper, Crook Destroyer, Dip. Da da da! Is that a real person? What country are you from?
Oh, you lost it halfway through. Now you gotta start insulting people.
Gender! Shatsu hat! LaCroix!
Man.
My throat hurts just listening.
The crustacean sensation until I don't stop her. Peel your shrimp, your nymphs, ash buffalo. Get a better day. Dallas, Robber Van Pyro, Shane. Hugo likes tacos. I like tacos too. Lando Gates. Perilous Patches. Scooby Doo 182. And Douglas, who are you, Levison? My throat hurts.
I wonder why.
Sharon, how do you keep doing this voice? How do you do it every day? Every day she comes out for her fans.
Imagine that's a fake put-on voice. That's not even how she talks.
That'd be amazing.
What do you mean?
Can you imagine her when she says it sexily?
Avi!
Nothing sexy about that.
Avi!
Imagine she really sounds like an NPR host or something.
Ozzy.
That's what NPR hosts sound like in England.
Oh.
Ozzy. Ozzy. Ozzy, come in here.
So turned off right now.
Ozzy, do you like what I'm wearing?
Please.
Jose?
Enough.
Jose, eat my binge.
Oh, my God.
Eat the binge! Eat it, Jose!
I bet you she wears knee highs to bed.
Take off my knee highs, Jose!
Oh, he wears the knee highs? Oh, take them off of her. Okay.
What are your knee highs, Jose?
Oh, man.
Where has this show gone? I don't know.
I jumped
the rails like a crazy train.
All right. Well, we've learned so much. Thank you for listening. And that's it. Oh, okay.
That's it. Everybody.
We'll be back next year. Next year? Next week. Well, we'll be back next year too, but next week is next week first.
We're taking a 9.5 month hiatus.
No, we'll be back next Tuesday.
See you
Bye.
Next Tuesday.
Bye.
Okay, that was
good.
Okay. All right.
No, are you good with the 28th at 2 p.m. Eastern for the Patreon episode?
Oh, I did not see 28. Is that on March 28th?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that should be just... Oh, I don't... Is that for April?
Yeah.
Do you mind if we did it the following Sunday, or it has to be before April 1st?
It's better if it's before April 1st, because that's when everybody gets charged.
What about this Sunday or this Saturday?
I can't. I could do this Saturday, but I can't do this Sunday.
All no, right,
well, let's do it on Sunday. I'll do Eastern time.
Okay.
So that is what time?
Oh, the 28th to Eastern. I think that's going to be.
Are you 2 hours behind?
One. You're 1 hour behind now, right?
I'm 3 hours.
Oh, three hours.
Oh,
behind.
So
okay.
Then that's 11 a.m. Is that too early for you? Okay.
I'm just writing it so I don't fuck up.
It is in the calendar.
And what are we doing? I'm sorry that I missed it.
It's okay. The Lemmy.
So it should only be like 90 minutes. We're doing the watch along of the Lemmy doc.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay.
Clips. What clips? Eddie Trunk's tweet.
Yeah.
Tweet? What?
When Eddie Trunk tweeted the angry thing about the Grammys.
Oh, okay.
I got it.
Maybe that little, maybe that thing at the end about Sharon in the bedroom.
Oh, my God.
Just like, oh, speak.
Listen, man, that's all you if you want that out there.
I mean, there was a lot of good stuff in the real Sharon segment.
Okay, yeah, then let's do something there.
And then maybe your story of your confrontation.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's a good one. That should be enough.
Jew confrontation.
All right. Awesome.
Out of context, the Jew thing? I don't know.
Wait, what? I missed the first.
It's not, as none of it is really, like, anti-Semitic or anything. It's just two guys being assholes. Well, one guy being an asshole. The other one was appropriately embarrassed, I would say.
Well, I'm not defending them. I don't think that... I mean, like, they were pretty aggressive. I just don't know if, like, if it'll sound that kosher out of context. You know what I mean?
I guess. Yeah,
I don't
know.
Do you really want to put a clip online of, like, just, like, saying stuff about Jewish people like that?
Yes.
I'm fine. I'm fine with not using it if you don't feel comfortable with it, though. I understand your...
Well, we'll just put it to more people that are going to, then who's going to see it online, right? On Facebook or whatever. And put it to like 1,000 or 2,000 people. That Facebook's going to get like 800 engagements. Should we take it out of the show?
Oh, no, I don't think to take it out of the show. I think in the episode is fine. Just to put a clip of that, I think is just
No, I would put the whole segment because it was only like 5 minutes of this whole story. I would have the full context.
I still think out of context, like popped out of the show as its own separate thing. I just don't think it's a good look for us to be
I
honest.
Think here's the thing. The part where Darren just refers to them as Jews out of context might be a little fishy, but if that's not in the clip, then I think everything else is fine. Because it's just Darren being confronted by maskless people and then what happens. So as long as that part of just referring to them as Jews isn't in there, I don't think there's any context needed. What does everybody else think? No? Yes? Maybe?
I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with it whatsoever.
Again, like it's.
I won't post it if you don't want to. I mean, if that's
yeah,
we can
just
put your foot down about it. I don't mind. But I'm just saying I don't personally see anything wrong with it.
Okay. So then, what else?
Maybe a Zoltan, because that a lot of that was visual.
Oh, yeah.
So posting a clip of that would be helpful to the non-viewers.
Yeah, and there was some fun stuff in that. Yeah, let's post that.
We were going through those pictures and Hoyler versus Royler. There was good stuff in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm okay offending Brazilians.
Okay.
Hoyler's gonna come after you.
I'd have to be outside for them to get me, and that's not happening. Bye, everybody. I love you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye, guys.